KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
After some early morning fog here in the Nishnah Valley, we have seen skies become clear and sunny here this morning. We look for a partly cloudy sky here today at times, with the wind shifting from the north to the southeast at 10 miles per hour and a high of 82 here today. Should be very pleasant in the Nishnah Valley. There will be a chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms as we head to the overnight hours. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news here on KJAN. A fire at a home in Wyota early this morning caused extensive damage, but no one was injured. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kinnon reports the blaze at 106 East Street in Wyota happened around 3:15 a.m. Firefighters from Wyota, Atlantic, and Anita responded to the scene and were there for more than 2 hours. Additional information will be forthcoming. Council Bluffs Police are investigating a shooting that occurred early this morning. At 1:54 a.m., officers were dispatched to 2216 27th Avenue at the Best Western for a report of a male with a gunshot wound to his arm. The man was taken to a nearby hospital for treatment of his injuries. No further details are known at this time, but Council Bluffs Police are asking anyone with information regarding that incident to call their Criminal Investigation Division or anonymously call 712-328-STOP. Authorities say an Iowa man died after his vehicle collided with another on a northeast Nebraska highway. The collision occurred at around 9:40 a.m. on Sunday on Nebraska Highway 9, about 1.5 miles north of West Point. The Cumming County Sheriff's Office says 21-year-old Jose Barrios of Denison was killed when his vehicle ran into an oncoming vehicle driven by 28-year-old Michael Jensen of West Point. Jensen was taken to a West Point hospital. That collision is being investigated. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office reports deputies arrested three people on Sunday after the canine SEBA was deployed during the search of a vehicle in the 600 block of Madison Street in Bedford. 39-year-old Clinton Johnson of Athelstan, Iowa, and 37-year-old Cynthia Butler of Bedford and 18-year-old Samantha Sweat of Blockton were all charged with possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Their bonds at the Taylor County Jail were set at $1,300 each. A traffic stop early Sunday morning in Taylor County escalated into a pursuit. Sheriff's officials say 28-year-old Jacob Allen Thompson of Newmarket was pulled over by Page and Taylor County deputies around 12:15 a.m. at the corner of 7th and Main Streets in Newmarket. Thompson then attempted to flee deputies, and during the attempt to flee, a deputy was struck in the arm by his vehicle. Thompson was subsequently stopped after a short pursuit. He was taken into custody and charged with operating a motor vehicle under the influence of alcohol, second offense, eluding, and driving while license suspended, interference with official acts causing bodily injury, and assault while participating in a felony. He was additionally cited for failure to provide proof of financial liability, failure to use a seatbelt, and for having an open container as a driver. He is being held on $13,000 cash-only bond at the Taylor County Sheriff's Office. The Audubon Police Department released information on several arrests within the past month. On July 19th, 22-year-old Brandon William Henderson of Audubon was arrested on an Audubon County warrant. Henderson was taken to the Audubon County Jail. On July 30th, 36-year-old Ashley Sue Hartle of Audubon was arrested for domestic abuse causing injury. Hartle was transported to the Audubon County Jail and held to appear before a magistrate. On August 1st, 35-year-old Joseph Michael Hartle of Audubon was arrested for violation of a no-contact order. Hartle appeared before a magistrate and pled guilty to the charge, serving 7 days in jail. And on August 16th, 29-year-old Desiree Michelle Elliott of Linden was arrested for 4 counts of credit card theft and ongoing criminal conduct. Elliott was being held in $33,000 bond in the Audubon County Jail. Officials with the Creston Police Department report 3 arrests and 1 incident of theft. 33-year-old Shane White of Clearfield was arrested Saturday in Creston for driving while suspended. He was later released on $300 bond. 25-year-old Bradley Nauman of Adele was arrested Saturday in Creston for OWI first offense. He was later released on $2,000 bond. And 40-year-old Layla Churchwell of Creston was arrested Sunday for theft in the second degree. She was taken to the Adams County Jail and held on $5,000 bond. A woman from Creston reported to police on Saturday that sometime within the past week, someone entered her residence and stole a PlayStation 3, a PlayStation 4, and an LG Bluetooth speaker. The loss was estimated at $500. The City of Atlantic's Park and Recreation Department Board of Directors will hold their regular monthly meeting 5:15 this evening in the Council Chambers at City Hall. On their agenda are updates and/or discussion on possible action on the following items: a Nishna Park water quality grant update, a feature of the Sunnyside pool discussion, a Gaga Pit project for an Eagle Scout, the recent playground build at the Schoberg Recreation Area, park house plans, washout along the Bull Creek Pathway, and getting bids for putting a walkway around the new Schoberg Playground. In his report to the board, Interim Parks and Recreation Department Director Bryant Rasmussen will discuss space in the park, kids bike ride, bids for a barrier around the new playground, and Hygge Fest set for 5 p.m. September 21st at the Sunnyside Park Bandshell. The Exira EHK School Board will meet at 6 o'clock this evening in a regular session at the Elkhorn Building in the conference room. On their light agenda is information with regard to open enrollment and discussion and or action on approving the FFA National Convention, personnel hires, transfers, resignations, and other administrative business. The Audubon School District's Board of Education will hold a regular meeting at 7 o'clock tonight at their boardroom at the high school. Action items on their agenda include approving a Transportation Committee recommendation, approving quotes from Carroll Glass for door repairs and chimney repair, approve of ILO physics, and action on personnel matters. The board will also discuss the upcoming school board elections, and they'll receive updates on summer projects and the PEPL silo budget. And the Griswold School Board will hold their regular meeting following public hearings on proposals to sell the Lewis and Elliott properties. The hearings in the middle school high school library begin at 5:30 with presentation of a proposed sales agreement for the Lewis property, followed at around 5:35 p.m. by a proposal of the sales agreement for the Elliott property. Once the public hearings are closed, the Griswold School Board will open their regular session, which includes action on approving change orders, resolutions authorizing the execution of deed for the Lewis and Elliott facilities, as well as approving the authorizing a delivering of those properties. The board will also have discussion with regards to daycare. Governor Kim Reynolds has ordered all state flags in Iowa to be lowered to half-staff today until sunset in honor and remembrance of fallen Lyon County Sheriff's Deputy Stephanie Schruers. Deputy Schruers, a 24-year veteran with the department, died from injuries sustained in the line of duty on Tuesday, August 13th. Flags will be flown at half-staff in the State Capitol Building and on flag displays in the Capitol Complex. Flags will also be at half-staff in all public buildings, grounds, and facilities throughout the state. Individuals are encouraged to do that as well. Service has been set as well for here today for a Northwest Iowa Sheriff's Deputy who died after a patrol vehicle crashed. A mass is scheduled at 10 o'clock in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for Deputy Stephanie Schruers, who died once again last Tuesday and was injured August 9th when her vehicle ran off a road while entering a sharp curve in Lyon County. She was flown to a Sioux Falls hospital and later has passed away. In other area news, the gun issues were the dominant topic at a Republican Senator Joni Ernst town hall meeting early Saturday morning in Johnston. Ellie Holland, a teacher in Johnston, was emotional as she told Ernst about going through active shooter training in her school last week.
So my question for you today, Senator, is when can I plan to get back to trainings that simply teach children to read and write?
Holland said that about half the crowd cheered. Ernst answered Holland by emphasizing the need to improve mental health care.
We need to make sure that those that are showing signs of instability are able to receive treatment. And I would say that across the United States, we are short counselors, we are short psychologists, and we are short psychiatrists.
We're short Congress people that take action.
What I have seen.
The hour-long forum often featured Ernst speaking as critics in the crowd reacted or Ernst supporters in the audience cheering and applauding, including one person who occasionally rang a cowbell. Don Corrigan of Des Moines thanked Ernst for supporting the National Rifle Association in the right to own a gun.
Let's punish people for crimes, and when someone commits a crime, don't come and take away my right for it.
Ernst said Republican senators would review various proposals, but Ernst expressed concerns about ensuring so-called red flag laws that let courts order authorities temporarily seize guns include due process rights to protect the wrongly accused.
What we do have to make sure is that those that are law-abiding citizens are still able to purchase weapons. It's our Second Amendment right. And that those that should not be able to gain access to weapons should not have the right then to purchase those weapons.
Ernst made it clear that she opposes a ban on the kind of rapid-fire guns used in El Paso and Dayton.
Any weapon out there can be used to harm another person. So deciding on definition. Who decides what is considered an assault weapon?
Ernst told reporters there's no law that will magically prevent irrational people with evil intent from committing murder. That's a look at some of the area news. Now taking a look at world news headlines this hour. An Afghan official says at least 66 people have been wounded in a series of explosions in the eastern province of Nangarhar as the country marks Independence Day. A spokesman for the provincial governor says at least 10 explosions occurred around the provincial capital, Jalalabad. And he says most of the people have minor injuries. No one has immediately claimed responsibility for the attack. Both the Taliban and local affiliate of the Islamic State group are active in Nangarhar. A senior Trump administration official says the U.S. has made secret contact with Venezuela's Socialist Party boss, Diosdado Cabello, who is considered the most powerful man in Venezuela after President Nicolas Maduro. The meeting was last month, and a second meeting is in the works. The official also says close allies of Maduro's inner circle guarantees they won't face prosecution for alleged abuses and crimes if they cede to growing demands to remove Maduro. One of Jeffrey Epstein's first known accusers says police didn't take her complaint seriously in 1997 and blew an early chance to bring the financier to justice. Alicia Arden says she never heard back from Santa Monica, California police after accusing Epstein of groping her during what she thought was an interview for the Victoria's Secret catalog. Police say the case was dropped after Epstein gave a conflicting statement and Arden asked not to press charges, an assertion she strongly denies. Most economists surveyed by the National Association for Business Economics expect that a recession is in the near future, just a matter of when. 34% of economists polled say they believe a slowing economy will tip into recession in 2021. Another 38% predict will occur in 2020. Only 2% of those polled expect a recession to begin this year. President Donald Trump has dismissed recession concerns, saying on Sunday, "I don't think we're having a recession." Michigan Congressman Justin Amash may be on track to hobble President Donald Trump and the Republican Party after his departure from the GOP. Amash was the first Republican on Capitol Hill to call for Trump's impeachment and has since decided to seek re-election as an independent, setting up a three-way race in his Grand Rapids area district that could divide right-leaning voters. Amash is considering another move that could hurt the Trump-led GOP running for president as a libertarian. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements this morning. Pauline Myrna Mogensen, aged 86 of Avoca, died August 5th at Avoca Specialty Care. Graveside services for Pauline Mogensen will be held Monday at 10 a.m. at the Graceland Cemetery at Avoca today. Polly Jones Funeral Home at Avoca has arrangements. Ken Meisinger, age 63 of Atlantic, died Thursday at home. Funeral services for Ken Meisinger will be held today at 10 a.m. at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockerberry Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Thomas J. Godwin, age 95 of Exira, died Thursday at Jenny Emmonson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Thomas J. Godwin will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home Exira has arrangements. Kenny Waters, age 78 of Messina, died Wednesday at his home in Messina. A massive Christian burial for Kenny Waters will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Vonda Cook, age 90 of Neola, died Saturday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Vonda Cook will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the United Church of Christ in Minden. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Dorothy Peters, age 94 of Red Oak and formerly of Griswold, died August 13th at the Red Oak Rehab and Care Center in Red Oak. Funeral services for Dorothy Peters will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. William Bill Christians, age 76 of Carson, died Thursday at the Acura Healthcare of Stanton in Stanton. A celebration of life for Bill Christians will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Les Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Dorothy Joan Alf, age 86 of Sun City West, Arizona, died August 10th. Funeral services for Dorothy Joan Alf will be held Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home Avoca has arrangements. Norman Jean Wigg, age 74 of Kirkman, died Thursday at Methodist Jenny Emmonson Hospital in Council Bluffs. A memorial service for Jean Wigg will be held on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. John Spearing, age 52 of Carson, died Thursday in North Platte, Nebraska. A celebration of life for John Spearing will be held Wednesday at 2 p.m. at the Les Hills Funeral Home in Carson. And Ruth A. Brown, age 92 of Des Moines and formerly of Redfield, died Saturday at Eden Crest at Riverwoods in Des Moines. Services for Ruth Brown are currently pending at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at your news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.